Welcome to the Inside the Boards podcast, the podcast dedicated to helping you learn to think like a question writer so you can study smarter, not harder, and succeed in medical school.
Before we get into today's episode, let's hear a question from our All Audio QBank. You can get a ton of questions just like this one in our app available on iOS and Android to help you study on the go. You can learn more at insidetheboards.com/app.
A 67-year-old female with history of atrial fibrillation and pulmonary fibrosis presents to the ED with concerns of sudden onset vomiting and dizziness. She explains that she was feeling fine earlier in the day when all of a sudden she felt extremely dizzy and vomited. Her vitals are normal except for a mildly elevated temperature. Her speech is hoarse. Gag reflex is diminished and she displays right beating nystagmus when looking to the left. The right side of the body and the left side of her face have diminished sensation to pain and temperature, and her gait is mildly ataxic. A stroke of which of the following arteries explains her symptoms? Is it A, left posterior inferior cerebellar artery, B, right posterior inferior cerebellar artery, C, left anterior inferior cerebellar artery, or is the answer choice D, right anterior inferior cerebellar artery? And the correct answer is choice A, left posterior inferior cerebellar artery. The patient has lateral medullary syndrome, Wallenberg syndrome, which is due to a stroke of the posterior inferior cerebellar artery. Depending on the nuclei affected, symptoms may include dysphagia, hoarseness and decreased gag reflex, vomiting, vertigo, and nystagmus, decreased pain and temperature sensation on the contralateral body and ipsilateral face, ipsilateral Horner syndrome, ataxia, and dysmetria. Cranial nerve deficits on one side and body deficits on the other point to a brainstem lesion. And with cranial nerves being ipsilateral, this patient's stroke is of the left PICA. For answer A, a left PICA stroke explains the ipsilateral cranial nerve symptoms and contralateral peripheral nerve symptoms. For answer choice B, a right PICA stroke would cause left-sided deficits in the body and right-sided cranial nerve deficits. For choices C and D, the AICA strokes may present with vomiting, vertigo, and nystagmus, decreased pain and temperature sensation of the contralateral body and ipsilateral face, as well as ataxia. But a key AICA stroke symptom is facial paralysis due to disruption of the facial nucleus.
And now, here's today's episode.
Hey guys, you're tuned into ITB, the biggest medical podcast network, where we bring you everything about medical education, news, everything and anything related to medicine. Right here on this podcast. My name is Eva, and today I have an amazing artist here with me. Her name is Dr. Art. Now, many of you have heard of her, but those of you who haven't, please go to her website and check out some of our artwork. It's on www.drartwork.com. In case you didn't catch that, don't worry, we'll be mentioning it again, but I'm so excited to introduce Dr. Art here. Dr. Art, are you here with us all the way from France?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, oh my gosh, you have no idea how long I've been looking to meet you. You are such an inspiration. And you know, I'm obsessed with your art. I will be the first one to admit it.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Art, tell us about yourself. There's so much to learn about you and from you. So tell us a little bit about everything to do with you. I want to know how you started, what influenced you to get into this.
Okay, so I'm the founder slash the artist of Dr. Art World Gallery. I'm currently a fifth-year medical student. We're following the MBBS degree, so we get into medical school straight out of high school. So it's a 6-year program, and I have 1 year ahead of me before graduation.
Wow, that's incredible. So I just finished medical school, so I know how crazy busy medicine is. But what inspired you to start this artwork? Like, where did you realize that you were this amazing artist and you wanted to mix it in with medicine?
Well, surprisingly, I've never been an artist before. It just come up in med school. Our first 2 years, it's just like for you guys, the pre-med phase. And during that, we got kind of like glimpse of anatomy, like the limbs, upper, lower. And my professor required us to draw anatomy figures. And I started drawing in a very detailed manner, of course, but adding some splash of colors, some kind of like somehow creativity to make it less boring. And the professor really loved that and said, why not make more? And I will mention that in my textbook. And kind of like I figured out that I somehow can draw. I still at that point was thinking like maybe it's just because I'm drawing like very strictly. But once COVID hit and we had such a long time to discover ourselves, we started drawing like just for the sake of drawing, not like for my anatomy professor. I started going way abstract, like thinking, okay, how can I make a very boring, detailed anatomy figure into a very abstract, colorful, unique, and common art piece so that anyone, not even in the medical field, would find it interesting and wouldn't even recognize that this is like this was drawn and inspired from his human body. So yeah, so this is how it went.
Wow, that is exquisite. I feel like I need to own some of this artwork because honestly, like I'm looking at a cross section of a breast and she has made it look so glamorous. Like even on our website, when you go on it, it says your anatomy atlas, but classier. And it's so true. Like it's to the T. Like when I look at these colors that you've used, like the way the purple stain, and it's like looking at, you know, like a nice histology slide or just even a picture from, a pathology textbook, but just so beautiful.
There's like a starting point where it's from anatomy, but then like the moon is your endpoint. So I just like go and as an example, like I have a fetus heart art piece. And like for the fetus, you know, like there's a foramen and valley for people who has come up like this information. Like
yeah,
some,
yeah.
I'm sure like some didn't. But yeah. There's like a foramen in the fetus heart and like blood would freely move from right to left, left to right. Mm-hmm. And because I love the ocean and the sea, the beach. So I was thinking like, why wouldn't I transform the blood flowing in the heart and turning into ocean waves instead, like hidden within the cavity. So
wow.
You see, like at first, like it's a very common, boring thing, but then I turn it into like a very classical yet abstract anatomy art piece so that anyone who's interested in ocean art piece would find interest in like even anyone in medical school.
I'm getting goosebumps listening to you. You're speaking like an artist. Like I'm speechless right now. I don't even think I'm speaking English. I don't think I'll ever listen to a murmur again and not appreciate it now. The way you have described a murmur, you know, I think that's beautiful. And this is why you're such an incredible artist and your passion and your drive and your love for this clearly shows in your art. So I have a few more questions for you. Now, with all of this work and all of what you have put up out there and people are obviously purchasing these artwork, how do you envision Dr. Art moving forward? Like, what do you envision for this, for your company, for your brand, for what you have to offer?
At first, it started with me trying to find out my style. But at the beginning, it was me and my partner. She's the pro artist because, as I said, like for me, I just figured out that I can draw. But for her, like she used to draw unrealistic, surrealistic art pieces. So I kind of like integrated her into the art gallery and she has like her own style. Like she's more into the minimalism. Like moving forward, everyone is like going for the minimalistic move, like moving unnecessary things. Because for me, like it's more abstract, more random, a lot of colors. But for her, like very geometric, mini details, cooler tones, nude colors. So it was me and her. And now we're like a team of 5 artists and we have like other artists from UK, US, and they're bringing their own styles. Like one of our artists is working now on an art pieces that will turn organs into machines. What? It's like kind of like you see an art and you think this is related to IT or something like that. But it's not. It's related to your medical field.
Wow. Okay. Tell me more.
There is another one who's working on a Renaissance style. So this is a move like more into Christian characters, like the view found drawn in the church with flowers and so on, like to turn organs into characters, woman characters, and we give them their own touch. For me, I'm working on Picasso style, so it would be modernistic, kind of like contemporary art. And the list goes on and on. But to sum it up, we want to expand our gallery art so that it's very uncommon, very weird, so beautiful, abstract, so that anyone would be interested in it. And that's why, like, anyone who's listening to us and has a drive for art and loves to make inspiration from our human bodies, they're welcome to join us and we'll take care of the rest. So we want to become a global anatomy art gallery for anyone interested in art, especially anatomy, would find us as their endpoints.
Gosh, at this point, I just wished I paid attention in art class because I would love to be part of your crew if I could draw this nicely. But this is amazing. And yes, guys, if you're listening in and you have this kind of passion for artwork, definitely go on our website, check her out. You can contact her and be part of this. This is amazing. I feel like this is such a breath of fresh air for me because I normally, and this is just my opinion, I normally don't see art like this colliding with medicine, even though medicine is an art form in itself. But to see these two worlds collide, it's so beautiful.
And I'm sure like there are a lot of fields outside of art that can be collided with medicine. Like we're just not going out of our comfort zone. You just need to think outside of the box. Like it shouldn't be art and medicine. It can be technology and medtech, having a startup, something like that. So just go outside of the box.
That's so true. And, you know, I mean, medicine is not just what we study. It's art in itself. It is life. And, you know, what they say, or life imitates art, art imitates life, vice versa, right? So I think that it's good to take out that beauty and uphold it like you have. And any sort of advice you can give to our listeners today that has passion in this kind of field, or like give them inspiration or even how to start?
Okay, so just start with your hobbies. Don't limit your off time and think like this would impact your profession. I know like becoming a medical student, you're already an excellent, stellar student. No one would doubt about it. But still, your off time should be for you to discover yourself. Even during med school, you're still at a certain point where you still haven't discovered and unleashed all your skills and maybe new interests. So it's just like the more time you give to yourself, the more you're going to discover new hobbies, new ways to kind of like impact not even yourself, but also the profession. For me, it started with me trying to discover myself. I discovered art, and now I'm having a gallery, anatomy arts. Now it's a business. So I'm impacting the art field and introducing the medical era into art galleries, which is very uncommon. Like there used to be only like boring anatomy figures, but we kind of like brought something new. It shouldn't be for you arts only. It can be anything. As I said, like even for technology or anything related to business, anything like very uncommon. You should still dedicate that and it will indirectly impact your profession. Yeah. So yeah,
those were great words of wisdom. You know, that's very inspirational what you just said. Now, before we conclude today, I'm very interested. Now, I know you said you're in medical school and you're studying to finish up medicine here shortly. What subspecialty, or even not even subspecialty, but what field are you looking to go into in medicine?
Well, and surprisingly, it's surgery.
Wow. Well, I kind of guessed it, but at the same time, I didn't want to assume. So I had to ask. This is incredible. And I believe that every surgeon is a great artist. And I can definitely see you flourishing in that field. If I'm ever under your knife, you're welcome. If I'm ever under your knife, I know there'll be no jagged edges with my sutures. So I'm incredibly lucky to have met you. And we are so happy that you came onto this podcast to share what you love most, which is art and medicine. And you've upheld that. So thank you so much, Dr. Art. Did you have any other things you wanted to say or add before we finish off today's podcast?
Anyone interested in joining us and becoming an artist, hit us with an email. And anyone is interested in seeing what is it like to draw in abstract way, you should check our art pieces, and we're getting even more styles. So.
And guys,
and
again,
thank you for having me again.
Yeah, for sure. It was so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from France. Guys, if you guys are listening in, everyone, her website is www.drartwork.com. Go check her out. They're beautiful pieces. Anyways, guys, see you guys next time. This is Eva and Dr. Art signing off.